This is Wade's World, where we talk to the most interesting people in the world on KABF 88.3, the voice of the people.
You want to see how the other half lives? You want to see how we get around? Why don't you come visit me on the east side of town?
This is Wade Brafkin. You're listening to Wade's World, the Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Kampala, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kbf.org, wamf.org, or acornradio.org. A podcast will be available of this show on these websites and at www.chieforganizer.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're talking to Ken Pintel, who's with the Ecology Democracy Network, and he's got a very interesting proposition about a bill, H.R. 4894, to establish the Genuine Progress Indicator. Ken, welcome to Wade's World.
Well, it's wonderful to be here, Wade. Really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Well, and we equally appreciate finding out more about GPI, or the Genuine Progress Indicator. First, tell us what GPI is, and then we'll talk about the bill that's been introduced by Representative Omar, and we'll get into that as well.
Yeah, well, the Genuine Progress Indicator emerged around 1995 as an alternative composite indicator to the gross domestic product. Basically, it can be seen as an adjustment to the gross domestic product, basically, because the gross domestic product, which is the dominant economic signal on Earth right now, has been critiqued for many years. And the genuine and criticized as a dominant economic signal that everyone's chasing. The Genuine Progress Indicator emerged as an alternative to the GDP based upon being a triple bottom line measurement, which deals with economic indicators, social indicators, and environmental indicators. The Genuine Progress Indicator is a social welfare indicator, basically. That's what it is. And what I would need to do is compare the two, the gross domestic product with the Genuine Progress Indicator. I should probably give you a little history as well, Wade, about the GDP, just so people can get up to speed on why the Genuine Progress Indicator emerged. So
why it matters. You're exactly right. Because a lot of this is Greek to Jane and Joe Doe out there, but it actually has a lot of impact in terms of our policy and economics, right?
Yes. Well, the gross domestic product emerged as a measurement out of a Depression-era measurement from 1934. It was basically a response to the Depression, became a measurement of national income, so there was a more accurate way of measuring the overall, generally, the way I put it, a monetary footprint within our domestic economy. Gross domestic product was used as a wartime measurement as well. And then after World War II, it was basically implemented as the dominant economic signal on Earth. Nation by nation on the planet was going to measure their robustness, or the way it was defined, the health of their economy, using the gross domestic product. And the gross domestic product was being criticized at that point by a variety of people as a measurement of economic health. It basically, all the GDP is an aggregate of economic activity. So over time, there was a lot of adjustments that were being made, and eventually the Genuine Progress Indicator emerged as an alternative to the GDP, because the GDP has grown to become the dominant signal on Earth. It basically sets pricing, interest rates and budgeting on the planet, basically. And if we in the U.S. go two negative quarters of GDP, it is a benchmark for a recession. Right. So the GDP is basically a growth imperative. And the work I do is to reverse ecological overshoot. So you cannot infinitely grow on a finite biosphere. And as long as we chase the GDP, it continues to lead us to living beyond carrying capacity on this planet, or basically driving what's known as ecological overshoot, living beyond the ability of natural systems to restore themselves on this planet. And right now it takes about 1.7 planets to provide our needs on Earth. So chasing the GDP, and from my point of view and many people on the planet, is very dangerous right now. And the genuine progress indicator would start to reverse this threat.
Right.
And so that's the gist of it.
Yeah. Ken, let's look for a second, just so people understand this clearly. Give some examples of what the GDP measures differently than what the proposed GPI would measure.
Okay, so let me, I'll give you a quick example, one example, but I could give you many. One is, let's just take the Minnesota River watershed from where I'm from. Minnesota River watershed runs from the western part of Minnesota, the middle part of the state, to the eastern part. And it connects with just south of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, to the Mississippi River.
Okay.
And for the last 80 years, the gross domestic product said grow food for volume in that watershed. And we did. We grew a lot of food. But there's no indicator in the measurement that said this groundwater cannot replenish itself. This topsoil cannot replenish itself. In the genuine progress indicator, probably late 1960s, early 1970s, it would have said, whoa, slow down or stop, because this practice of growing food is now costing us because this watershed cannot replenish itself. So where the GDP does not recognize limits, the genuine progress indicator does. Did that make sense?
Sure it does. And
yeah.
On the GDP, your argument is all about growth. So that's more of a measure of pure production, right?
Well, yeah, in many respects, yes. And then also just wanted to mention, Wade, when you go beyond that, you'll see in the late 60s, early 70s, a lot of government activity started to bubble up to do remediation, to protect ourselves from the threats of overusing these watersheds. And so we saw the National Environmental Policy Act, the Environmental Protection Agency, Clean Water, Clean Air, Endangered Species Act, all these things started bubbling up. And all the monetary activity around hearings, you know, monitoring, permitting, health effects, all of that shows up as a credit on the gross domestic product spreadsheet because it's just money exchanges. When in fact, these are all defensive expenditures, money we spend to protect ourselves or save our lives. In the genuine progress indicator, those expenditures would be a cost, not a credit. So when you shift from a credit to a cost on the spreadsheet, you change incentive and you change behavior. Now it becomes less attractive to overuse the watershed and far more attractive to go to more restorative, regenerative agricultural practices that are far more enduring and stabilizing communities and the health of our planet. So did that make sense?
That's very clear. We're talking to Ken Quintel, who is the founder and director of the Ecology Democracy Network based in Minnesota, about the Genuine Progress Indicator, GPI.
Yeah.
Now,
and Wade, I can give you another example on the social indicators that might be helpful.
Good.
Okay. So if you look at like the social indicators, let's say somebody wakes up in northern Minnesota or northern Arkansas or northern Mumbai or anywhere in the world, basically. But they wake up at 5:30 in the morning. They tend to the animals, the kids, the cleaning, the cooking, the mending till 9 at night for 40 years. In the gross domestic product, that activity does not show up. It's invisible because no money has been exchanged. in the Genuine Progress Indicator Act, House Resolution 4894, we put a column in the national spreadsheet that would value household work. Because basically, household work, everyone knows, I mean, what it takes to maintain a home. For one, it's family stability, social cohesiveness, things like that. And basically, if we do not value somebody who takes care of a home, basically that person is de facto subsidizing those that are in the workplace. So that's another difference between the gross domestic product and the genuine progress indicator. The genuine progress indicator values non-monetized activity. And that would also include like volunteering. What's that?
How would they measure that non-monetary activity?
Well, there's a couple of ways to measure it that we can look at now. One would be, what would you have to pay somebody to come into your home and do those services? So, you know, things like that. Or what's known as opportunity cost would be, what is the skill set of somebody who takes care of a home, and what would they get paid if they had to, they were able to go out in the workplace and get paid for their skills? So those are a couple of ways of measuring that effort.
Let's talk for a minute about House Bill 4894, introduced by Representative Omar. What would it? What's involved in this bill?
Basically, what it would do is it would be a side by side. It would not replace the gross domestic product at this point. What it would do is it would paint a different economic picture for policymakers. So what it would do is it would be it would travel through the Department of Commerce and the Bureau of Economic Analysis initially. Then on a yearly basis, departments like the Congressional Budget Office, the General Accounting Office, the Federal Reserve, relevant congressional committees would use the genuine progress and calculate the genuine progress indicator along with the GDP calculations side by side each year. And then at the end of the year, the Bureau of Economic Analysis would do an analysis of how it was calculated, what the effect was, so on and so forth. So that's how it's set up right now. It's generally set up to be a alternative spreadsheet to the gross domestic product.
And why is a bill needed? Couldn't economists or the Bureau of Economic Research or the same outfit you're talking about, couldn't they start using this index on their own?
Yes, they could. But unfortunately, no one's taking the initiative. So it's been around quite a while. The Genuine Progress Indicator is a well-vetted, well-known measure. I mean, in Minnesota, we did it late 1990s. We studied the Genuine Progress Indicator. Over 20 states have done statewide GPIs, which is the acronym for Genuine Progress Indicator. Four states have passed it into law in the last 12 years and have used it in a cursory way, Maryland, Vermont, Washington State, and Hawaii. And over 30 nation states have done genuine progress indicators for their countries. So it's considered the most scientifically vetted alternative to the GDP. But the United States has not taken the initiative till this point. So what Congresswoman Omar's bill would do was start being a catalyst for them to take notice that right now we're just not using accurate accounting. And, you know, it's very dangerous because ultimately what it comes down to with the GDP weight is it sets pricing, for example. And if people are walking into stores, they're getting their electric bills, you know, they're purchasing meat, energy, transportation and so on. And as long as we see a price that does not include the cost, we are deceiving ourselves economically. And that is very dangerous. And in Minnesota and every state in the country on a national level, the state forecast here in Minnesota, which leads towards our state budget, is all predicated on the gross domestic product right now. So right now, policymakers are looking at spreadsheets that are not an accurate reflection of the real condition or the well-being of our society. So this is really one of the remedies. The genuine progress indicator that Congresswoman Omar is offering is a remedy to this inaccurate accounting right now.
I got you, Ken. If you don't mind, I'm going to read from the bill some of the things that are costs, as you point out, that aren't being included. The bill says, among those costs that would be included in the GPI are income inequality, underemployment and unemployment, homelessness, domestic abuse, violent property, white collar and organized crime, water, air and noise pollution at the household national level, loss of farmland, loss of wetlands, high amounts of carbon dioxide, depletion of the ozone layer, depletion of non-renewable sources of energy, lost leisure time due to traffic. We need that. Accidents involving motor vehicles. You get the idea. We're talking about a huge number of things that in our daily lives we know are real costs and have huge impacts that just aren't part of how we see economic health. We're talking to about the CPI, the bill from Congresswoman Omar about the genuine progress indicator and why it should be something alongside the GDP as a measurement of real economic health. Ken, I've got to ask you, how did you and the Ecology Democracy group get involved in this economic sort of analysis?
Well, basically, I have been a grassroots organizer for the last 35 years. I worked 11 years with Greenpeace, 12 years with the Green Party, and I just was, in many respects, most of my time was chasing symptoms to a dysfunctional economic structure, okay? And then eventually, like around 2007, 2008, I started reading more about, you know, basically how incentives lead to behavior. And one of the things I was learning about, of course, was the way we measure the economy. And this started to change my thinking. I read Adbusters number 85. I was reading some other material, and it just transformed my thinking. And I said, if we're not going to try to meet, and the key thing here, Wade, is that the genuine progress indicator meets the scale of the problem we're facing. So that's really important because a lot of times, like I mentioned, we end up chasing symptoms to dysfunctional structures. And that I wanted to end. So I started to learn about this, and I'm still a student. I'm a grad, like I said, I'm not a mathematician, statistician, at all. But basically, I'm just a guy who's trying to figure out how we're going to reverse this overuse of planet Earth. And how we're going to create social and economic stability, more balance in our society. And that's kind of what captured my attention, was that this measure was very holistic, and it was, a far more accurate response to the condition we're facing right now. I wanted to mention a couple of other things as well, Wade, that I think are important in relationship to this.
Go ahead.
Okay, great, thanks. So I just wanted to mention one. You mentioned, as you started reading off the costs, and one of the first things you mentioned was income inequality. And I just wanted to paint a little picture for the people who are listening. In Minnesota, Hennepin County is the most populous county and the richest county in the state. It includes Minneapolis and surrounding suburbs. And in just Hennepin County, but this could apply to people in Arkansas, this could apply to people throughout anywhere in the world right now. But in Hennepin County, one person could gain all the benefits of productivity, and the gross domestic product, GDP, could improve because it does not care about allocation of resources. In the genuine progress indicator, it uses what's known as marginal utility. So basically, $1,000 going to somebody who makes $40,000 a year has a different value than $1,000 going to somebody who makes $1 million a year. So where the GDP does not care about income inequality, the genuine progress indicator does. Did that make sense?
Absolutely. In fact, we're talking to someone in a show coming up very soon about the tax rates and their argument around taxing people who are very rich and wealthy has to do with the marginal utility of money itself.
Exactly.
He had another $1,000 to Jeff Bezos. He didn't even hear you put it in his pocket. But for most of us, $1,000 is a happy dance time.
Right, exactly.
I get your point completely on that one, Ken.
Yeah. And then the other thing, Wade, I want to mention real quick is the way we're measuring the economy right now. We undervalue local and rural economies, and we overvalue urban suburban economies. So what we've seen, like in Minnesota, but this is endemic throughout the United States and throughout the world, but in Minnesota, 80 years ago, we had a population of about 52% rural population. That's now down to about 17%. And according to our state demographer, that trend is going to continue for the next 40 years. We're going to add 1 million people to the metro region of the Twin Cities. We're adding about 2 million people a week to cities right now on Earth. And this is creating incredible stress. It's creating a gravitational pull from rural to urban. Even when we try to do patchwork in Minnesota to reduce this. And one of the reasons this is happening is because people who live in metro regions require massive external resources for survival. So they pay money for energy, food, transportation, things like that. With a dense population and money being spent for basic external needs, the GDP says that's where the value is because it triggers a huge volume of monetary activity. In rural areas, people are far more self-reliant, self-sufficient, longer distances, valuable activity, but not valued in the way we measure the economy. So as I mentioned, in Minnesota, we try to do local government aid, bonding bills, payment in lieu of taxes to try to change this trend, but it does not meet the scale of the problem that we're facing. And you can see it around the world. Major cities are exploding. You know, Beijing, Shanghai, Mexico City, Lagos, Los Angeles, you know, Tokyo, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and it's creating an incredible amount of stress between rural and urban populations. The genuine progress indicator would reverse this trend and start to lead to localism and start to lead to more stability, less migration, and, you know, economic strength at a local level, dollars staying in the community. This is an outcome of the genuine progress indicator.
Ken, let's talk about what the chances are for this bill. So I noticed Representative Omar had 5 or 6 co-sponsors. Obviously, all of us who follow Congress now know it's a slog to get something through. Clearly, part of the point you just made has to do with the rural-urban divide, infrastructure, whatever. But what are the real chances of this bill?
Very difficult. It's basically reshaping the thinking right now. That's the best we can hope for. I've been meeting and talking with people from a variety of groups, staff with policymakers. That's really what we can hope for right now, because ultimately what this will do is it will challenge the most powerful interests on Earth right now. They do not want to see the genuine progress indicator because major extractive industries like mining, oil drilling, they don't want to pay their external costs. They don't want to pay the costs of pollution, things like that. The genuine progress indicator would start to internalize these pollution or the byproducts of pollution like emphysema, asthma, bronchitis. Right now, when somebody gets asthma and they have to go and get their breathers, things like that, all the GDP shows a credit, shows it's good. People are getting asthma because it's creating monetary activity in the economy. People going to doctors, hospitals, things like that. In the genuine progress indicator, these industrial polluting respiratory diseases would be a cost on the spreadsheet, which would then change the incentive and change the behavior in society, and it becomes less attractive to contaminate our atmosphere and the air we breathe.
Almost arguing that COVID-19 is and the GDP is an asset.
Well, what it is it does show that there are costs in overusing habitats and creating threats associated with illness, for example, like cancer. Right now in the GDP, cancer is good because you got to spend a lot of money on managing cancer. In the genuine progress indicator, cancer would be a cost. So now it becomes less attractive to dump cancer-causing agents indiscriminately in the atmosphere and in the oceans and the water systems. And far more incentive would be towards preventing discharges of cancer-causing agents. So that's another. So there, like I say, you've got companies like huge companies like Dow Chemical, DuPont, major oil interests, major financial interests who invest in these companies. They do not want to pay the cost of their byproducts or discharges, things like that. Agricultural, things like that. They can't afford, if they had to internalize the cost of all the inputs, we could not afford industrial agriculture on this planet.
Tell people how they can support this bill.
Well, they can first contact their Congress members and ask them to co-sponsor House Resolution 4894. Mobilize their religious community, mobilize their nonprofit community, mobilize their agricultural communities, their rural economies. Start mobilizing people on a variety of levels because there's a number of moving parts in the genuine progress indicator. So it connects with a lot of groups in society. So within the groups they're involved in, educate, mobilize, support the bill. That's really key. Contact me. They can get a hold of me at my website, ecologydemocracynetwork.org, ecologydemocracynetwork.org, or call me at my phone. My number they can reach me is 612-387-0601, 612-387-0601, and we can, connect. I can do briefings, talk more thoroughly about this, because Wade,
address where if people want to continue the conversation with you, they can reach out that way?
Yeah, contact me directly or contact Congresswoman Omar's office to help support the bill, or just contact their Congress members and mobilize within the community they live. Because right now, the way we're measuring the economy using GDP is very dangerous for everybody right now on this planet. And we need to shift the way we measure the economy. And that's what the Genuine Progress Indicator offers.
Thank you, Ken Patel of the Ecology Democracy Network and the discussion Genuine Progress Indicator Act. This has been Wade's World for another week, The World Where the Other Half Lives, where we talk about things you've never heard. And as Jacinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. Wade's World is underwritten by the Darrow Foundation, a progressive force enabling change based in Little Rock, Arkansas. And as the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week when we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke for Wade's World. Thank you.